here's an uncomfortable truth. You've been lied to about marriage. Every romantic comedy, every love song, every wedding toast has sold you the same fantasy that marriage exists to complete you, to make you happy, to fulfill your deepest longings. But what if the frustrations in your relationship aren't failures at all? What if they're precisely the point? This radical reframing has saved countless marriages by shifting the question from, am I happy, to, am I growing? Marriage isn't a happiness factory. It's a refining fire, designed not to comfort us, but to transform us into better versions of ourselves. For most of human history, marriage was practical, about survival, alliances, and raising children. Then came the romantic poets of the 19th century, convincing us that marrying for anything but passionate love was a betrayal of the soul. Ironically, many of these poets lived chaotic, irresponsible lives that contradicted their lofty ideals. This romantic view is brittle. It shatters when reality hits, when passion fades, when your spouse's quirks become annoyances, when life gets hard. Most couples respond by either splitting up, waging silent warfare, or simply coexisting. But there's a fourth option, pursuing spiritual depth. Traditional Christian spirituality elevated celibacy above marriage, treating spouses as distractions from God. But marriage's difficulties aren't obstacles. They're the curriculum itself. Every conflict confronts your selfishness. Every disappointment reveals where you've idolized another person. If marriage's purpose was happiness, you'd need a new spouse every few years. But if its purpose is transformation, challenging spouses offer the greatest growth opportunities. Throughout Scripture, God describes his relationship with humanity in marital terms. In Hosea, God says, "You will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master." When you practice patience with a difficult spouse, you experience a fraction of God's patience with humanity. When you forgive betrayal, you participate in divine reconciliation. Christians divorce at rates matching or exceeding non-believers, a theological contradiction. How can we proclaim a gospel of reconciliation while discarding relationships when they become inconvenient? Real love isn't butterflies. It's choosing to serve someone even when you don't feel like it. Scripture reveals God's surprising priority. In Deuteronomy, newly married men were exempt from war for a year specifically to bring happiness to the wife he has married. Your spouse's happiness matters to God. Dr. John Barger's story illustrates this transformation. For years, he dominated his wife Susan with condescension and control. Their baby's stillbirth became a turning point where he finally learned to listen to Susan's pain. After 3 years rebuilding trust, their marriage was renewed. Then Susan was diagnosed with terminal cancer. For 8 months, John cared for her devotedly until she died holding his hand. Through this crucible, he realized the virtues required to love Susan, patience, humility, faithful presence, were identical to those needed for loving God. Marriage forces you to love someone radically different from yourself, preparing you to love the totally other. Even in lopsided marriages, there's spiritual value in becoming more servant-hearted. Jesus washed everyone's feet, including Judas. Early in marriage, your spouse captivates you. Over time, familiarity can breed contempt. Mark Twain described how studying the Mississippi River robbed it of wonder. He had loved his love out of that river. Similarly, knowing every habit can erode respect. Yet familiarity should deepen honor, not diminish it. True respect means actively seeking evidences of grace rather than cataloging faults. Many marital problems stem from gender differences we're too lazy to understand. Understanding must precede respect, which must precede love, a spiritually therapeutic progression requiring self-emptying. Respect isn't passive tolerance. It's active honor expressed through compliments, affirming gifts, and appreciation. Build respect through practical steps. Adopt a holy double standard by focusing on your weaknesses and your spouse's strengths. Cultivate gratitude for what they bring. When tempted toward contempt, redirect that energy toward building your spouse up. Marriages built on commitment to please God above personal happiness can weather any storm: sexual temptation, financial stress, communication breakdowns. 1 Peter reveals a startling connection. Husbands must be considerate toward their wives so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Your attitude toward your spouse directly impacts your relationship with God. Bill McCartney led Promise Keepers while his wife Lindy fell into depression, feeling herself getting smaller and smaller as he pursued ministry success. Making others smaller to make ourselves larger contradicts Christianity's core teachings. Marriage requires viewing yourselves as a unit, reining in personal ambition for the relationship's sake. Paul connects sexual intimacy with prayer in 1 Corinthians. Regular physical connection enhances spiritual focus. Rather than viewing sex as a distraction, Paul recognizes that sexual frustration hinders concentration on eternal matters. By meeting each other's needs, minds become freer to pursue God. Unresolved disputes also impact prayer life. Jesus taught that reconciliation must precede worship. Marriage forces you to become an expert reconciler if you want vibrant spiritual connection. In a culture treating relationships as disposable, simply staying married becomes a powerful witness. Marriage strips away vanity without mercy. Your spouse becomes a mirror revealing your true self. One husband, voted most polite kid in ninth grade, discovered shocking irritability over empty ice cube trays, a 7-second inconvenience exposing profound lack of charity. Behind virtually every marital dissatisfaction lies unrepentant sin. Couples don't fall out of love, they fall out of repentance. Dating presents your best self, marriage reveals your worst. Many flee rather than face this reality. The alternative? Use these revelations to grow in humility and change. Yet, knowledge of someone's sin is dangerous. For marriage to work as spiritual discipline, link it with forgiveness. The relationship should feel nurturing, not interrogative, building each other up rather than tearing down. Like the Himalayas formed through colliding continental plates, marriage's points of impact strengthen you and deepen faith. Modern marriages can span 6 or 7 decades, enough time to develop God's character of steadfastness. Like God's relationship with Israel, marriages experience seasons of joy, frustration, betrayal, and silence. Perseverance holds them together. We live in a nation of quitters who abandon relationships at the first difficulty. True spirituality emphasizes persistence, not occasional heroic acts. One danger of breaking a marriage is not knowing the future. When someone leaves before illness or job loss strikes, they miss why we build sacred history. Keep your story alive. Tell it to each other, your children, your grandchildren. The more it's implanted in your minds, the more it protects against forces seeking to destroy your marriage. In a world that discards relationships like outdated smartphones, your marriage can become revolutionary, not just a partnership, but a holy alliance. This isn't about perfection. It's about two flawed people choosing growth over comfort, transformation over happiness, perseverance over escape. Every frustration is an invitation. Every conflict is a classroom. Every act of forgiveness is a small resurrection. Embrace the refining fire. Let marriage shape you into someone you couldn't become alone.